The autumn wind is a pirate.
Welcome, Raider Nation, on a victory week. After a Monday Night Football almost embarrassment, but not quite. We got the W, we squeezed by. We're going to hit on that and much more here on show 620. That's right, 620 doggone shows for you guys, the few fans I have left. Pretty funny. All right, Raider Nation, on today's show, we will have a post game for the Green Bay Packers. The cheese comes to Vegas and brought all their cheese towels, cheese friends, cheese heads, and some crazy-looking hats. They thought they were going to get the W. They were hoping. They thought Jordan Love was the man, and they were sorely disappointed. Not that we were all that, but we'll talk about that. Our next opponent is the Hoodie. That's right. The Rats come to town, and I can guarantee you that the Rats will be leaving the ship of Boston and traveling to Las Vegas to see their team, hopefully, get a W. They're 1-4. We'll hit on that for sure. We'll talk a little bit more about the bone line, and we'll just roll this show up and toss it on out there. Randy is the man, I just got to say. And without him, you know, we would have nothing to say. Thanks, my brother. Let's wrap into this first game against the cheese in our house, and was almost stinky. It could have been so easily. Let's get to it.
In the NFL, we're in week 5, and Josh McDaniels is hoping for bigger and better. They won their first game. They've lost 3 in a row. A 7-14 record overall in his second year with the Raiders and Matt LaFleur. Nothing but success. 3 straight divisional titles to start his reign atop the Green Bay Packers. They missed the playoffs a year ago, and his offense will be out there first tonight. Raiders won the toss. They defer. Here we go.
Before I get into this game, which we got the W, we squeezed one out. Yep, Josh got lucky. Our defense came alive for the first time against a pretty weak offense, but they still ran the ball on us. I'll go into that a little more. But when we beat the Broncos in their house, we scored 17 points. We lost to the Bills. We scored 10 points. We lost to the Steelers. We scored 18 points. We lost to the Bolts. We scored 17 points. And we beat Green Bay. We scored 17 points. Us and the Rats, only 2 team in the league that has not broken the 20. The 20-point in a game benchmark. For a team like the Raiders, who spends, count this, the 5th. Most money of all 32 on the offense, that is a travesty. We do have good players. We don't have great players. Wait a minute. We do. We have the most prolific wide receiver in the history of the game. I mean, Davante Adams should be blowing up these teams, but no. Because our quarterback, I do firmly believe, still has a head injury. I have counted in the last, well, probably 3 games, multiple open receivers. But he doesn't have time, or he doesn't look, or he's afraid he's going to get hit. Any one of those is a bad outcome because Jimmy G is not the answer. I know you got them Carr haters out there. I want to tell you, if Derek Carr was our quarterback, we'd definitely be making more than 17 points a game. This quarterback is horrible. Jimmy Garoppolo stinks. He stinks on his best day. This was probably the worst move in Raider history to pick up this guy because they thought he knew the offense was a sham. And I'll just say this, the coach is also a sham. Yes, the bowl cut up in his seats had a lot to say about this. What an a-hole, he said on multiple occasions. And I know he wasn't talking about the Green Bay Packers. Genius Josh Jacobs' playbook is anemic. And if I'm not the only one to say that, I'm going to be the only one to say it. And I don't care if I'm the only one to say it, but it is the most unentertaining football I have seen in my life. And I've seen some pretty unentertaining football. Let me get that out. I've seen some ugly games and some ugly teams. I've seen some ugly Raider teams. This is by far the worst. And I think it's the worst because we have the most money tied up in offense. Fifth most in the league. That's crazy. We can't score 20 points? Are you serious? Bull cut. Genius Josh against every possible stat. Every possible option. With 2 minutes left in the game, with a fourth and one, goes for a field goal. Absolutely the wrong thing to do. There's no covering it up. There's no, well, you knowing that away.
We have our fair share of analytics, you know, and I think sometimes when you just say it, you have a 63% chance of doing this if you do that. And what they don't mention is there's like 27 different variables in between those two things that are going to happen. You know, we have 11 guys on the field. They have 11 guys on the field. Their coordinator could call something different. You know, what are we calling? Who's the stress on? You know, is it a blitz? Is it not a blitz? Is it, you know, playing zone? Are they playing man? The injuries, you know, our guys out, their guys. You know, there's so many other things that go into analytics. I just, you know, you gotta take it with a grain of salt. If you have confidence in the play or the defense that you're going to call, great. If you understand the scenario and the game, the situation and the game, the circumstances, you might feel differently. You know, and you know, so I've always thought analytics are always skewed towards you know just the offense's ability to do something as opposed to the defense. You know, and we have three phases, you know, that play out there every week, you know. And if your defense is playing well or your kickers are kicking really well or your, you know, whatever it is, that also plays a role in analytics, which I think sometimes gets lost in translation.
That's some bullshit.
And that's just one of a plethora of horrible calls done by this guy who's supposed to be the genius. Genius Josh, genius offensive coordinator. He's the guy. I say send him back to New England. They can keep him. They need him. They need him because they're not winning anything either, and they could have someone to blame besides the hoodie. He would be a perfect scapegoat because his winning is atrocious, and he will not get any better. Everybody waiting for this to get better? Okay? Oh, my gosh. Don't wait. Don't wait. But you can hate. I hate the fact that you're a coach. Don't hate the person, but I certainly hate the position. Don't hate the guy, but hate what the guy's doing. Absolutely ugliest football I have seen in my life by my team. My own team. And you know what saved this game for us? I'm going to tell you what saved this game for us was the defense. Our anemic defense all the way up to this game. And I'll tell you who won this game was Marcus Peters, the one who wanted the coach fired on the X on Twitter.
They actually made a few heady plays, including, and this is the most counterintuitive thing ever, but including the most brilliant horse caller ever. I'm not sure that anybody's ever called a horse caller heady, but Marcus Peters had a really heady horse caller. That epic chase down of Christian Watson saved a touchdown and ultimately saved the game for the Raiders with that penalty. I mean, how funny is that? The same dude, and this is even funnier because he is the same dude who made headlines for liking social media content, calling for the head coach's job last week. That guy. That guy saved the game with a horse collar. But the penalty prevented the score, which saved the game, which is pretty incredible. And it's the same guy that was liking social media content, calling for his coach's head. Yeah, but then again, if you're going to show up and make heady hustle plays to save ball games, I don't really think Josh is sweating what the dude liked on Instagram. In fact, Josh straight up praised the dude and the play after the game because deep down, Josh may think or know that that heady horse caller did save his job. Or give yourself a chance to actually coach a few more days.
Yes, Marcus Peters with his horse collar tackle saved the touchdown, which saved the game. Because if they got a score, it would have been over with a capital O. Over. And the coach praised him in the press conference, too. Great play, Peters, with that penalty for 15, or actually half the distance in that case.
Yeah, and talk to Marcus. It's the right penalty. You know that's a really smart play in a critical time in the game. And, you know, if it's the first quarter in the middle of the field, you don't want a horse collar, you know. But if you're saving a touchdown on a long play like that, you at least give yourself a chance to play a few more downs, which he did.
Because the defense saved the day. Thank goodness for Mad Max Crosby, Amik Robertson. I mean, we all knew this quarterback for the Green Bay Packers is not the best guy. Jordan Love, there were questions, and there certainly aren't any answers because he's not answering any questions with his play. And this game was no different, and he came out and did what he does. He can't throw the ball past 20 yards, and he doesn't. And when he does, it's an interception. And when he gets stressed in the pocket, which was all Max. Max never stopped moving, never stopped grooving, never stopped seeking havoc and wreaking havoc on the offense. I think he finally has risen the defense to where it should be. Not the coach. I mean, don't get me wrong. Patrick Graham should not be our head coach. First of all, he's a defensive guy, and he's a bad defensive guy. So let's just not entertain the Patrick I need a Graham to wake up kind of guy to be our head coach, because if the bowl cut makes that move, well, it just goes to show you that he's never going to change barbers, if you know what I mean. So I say this game goes to the defense because our offense was anemic and sputtering at best. We barely made it through. Garoppolo running for his life, passing the ball all over the place and not really knowing where to go. Myers is his guy, for sure, his number one go-to. He does throw it a little to our tight end, and then Devontae gets what's left over because it takes time for Devontae to develop. And Jimmy G don't want to get hit, so he doesn't care. He's going to throw the ball wherever it has to go or not go. He doesn't want to get hit anymore. He's tired of getting beat up. So the guy's just going to get rid of the rock, and whatever happens, he doesn't care. He's got his money. Jimmy Garoppolo is not a Raider. Let me just say that first and foremost. Not, never going to be, not going to try to be. He's never going to develop into or possibly become a Raider, ever. He doesn't have it. You know, he's a poster child for, you know, those the handsome quarterback, but he can't throw the football. He doesn't throw the football. He doesn't look for the best guy. He doesn't take a hit like most guys would, like, O'Connell takes a hit. He'll throw the ball, take a thumping, because he's a new guy. He's not the answer either, don't get me wrong. I don't want him as our number one. I just don't think it'd be good for him to spend a season on the IR after he gets hurt from this horrible coach and coaching style and playbook that is as thick as an old phone book. Yeah, they used to be phone books, folks. And they were 3 or 4 inches thick, depending on where you lived. And evidently, that's the playbook. Well, the playbook could be 3 phone books, but we're not getting anything out of that phone book, genius Josh. Not happening. So I'm glad the Raiders won. I'm not a hater. I'm glad they won. It was very hard to watch. I'm sure I'm not alone. Painful game. Thought for sure we would lose. Amik Robertson saved the day. The 5'8 defensive back against the 6'3 wide receiver.
6'4.
Great play by him, by the way. I think he's good. I think Amik should be playing more. But don't get me wrong here. The Raiders did not play well. We played well enough to beat the lowly Packers, which are an anemic offense at best. Their defense is okay. Defense is enough to scare our quarterback into throwing the ball too early, which he's done all season. I do not know why the playbook hasn't changed, but I know that genius Josh will continue to make calls like kicking a field goal at 4th-and-1 with 2 minutes left in the game when he could seal the deal. And he could give me every excuse like, oh, our defense was playing so well. I knew they'd be able to hold them.
But give them credit. You know, that's a good team.
That's baloney. That's garbage. That's terrible coach speak. And there's not a coach or a player or a retired player or a host of a sports show that will ever agree with Josh McDaniels or the bowl cut for that matter. Because Mark was up there in his box with his friend. I'll just call her a friend. She looks fine. Doesn't look like she belongs with him. But then again, Bullcut has the cash, if you know what I'm saying. Not that he's paying her. I don't want to put that shade on that girl. I'm just saying that she has great exposure when she's sitting next to him. And that's what stars want. They want exposure, and she is being exposed hugely sitting next to the bowl cut for sure. So, you know, I don't want to go any more into this game. We won. It was a home game. Thank goodness. The place was stacked with cheese. They had some crazy hats. They had a guy that had a hat on in front of Randy that was the Green Bay Stadium in miniature. Crazy. They came because they thought they would win this game for sure because the Raiders are so terrible. So hats off to the defense, and Mad Max, you are the man. There's nobody like you. You're underrated because you're on the Raiders. You're not getting your props because you're on the Raiders. And I will tell you this, if he was on any other team, if he was on the 49ers, or if he was on the Chiefs, or the Jets even, or even if he was on the Eagles, he would be star material. But he is buried in a blanket of L's of the silver and black, because we stink. And that's not his fault. I feel bad for him because of that. Got to give him props because he brings it every single game. He brings it every single day. And he is the shining light in the silver and black. Trust me. Trust me. And with Josh Jacobs last week telling everybody he's tired of losing, I hope the bowl cut gets the memo and does something about it because, you know, I don't know if he can't see or if he doesn't have any money. Because I know the deal with Tom Brady to sell whatever he was going to sell, a 16th of the team, whatever it is, Mark's looking for some cash, and the deal went south because the other owners say, well, you can't sell the team or part of the team for such a discount. Mark was on a garage sale for the Raiders because he needs money. The bowl cut is hurting for cash. Well, his only reason he's hurting for cash is because his coach is spending like my wife. Don't get me wrong. I love my wife. She's awesome. But you know how women have a tendency to spend a little bit of cash. Well, Josh McD is spending like crazy every which way you look. And the problem here is the results are sorely missing in this team and this organization. And here's another thing. I'm going to put this on the very end because it's so true. Where is the general manager? Is he the janitor? Is he cleaning the restrooms? What is he doing right now? What? I know we're far from the draft. What is he doing? Because he's not defending his buddy. He's not defending Josh, genius Josh. He's not coming out and saying, well, our coach is doing a fine job. Our coach is hanging in there. We're doing our best to win. No, I think that our general manager hides in his office, and he's probably got some good computer games in there because he ain't coming out and he ain't saying squat. You know why? I'll tell you why, because I know this for sure, and I'm sharing it with you all. It's an inside secret. He's not a general manager. He's an actor. I think he missed his calling. He should go back to Broadway. Or, you know, he's in Vegas already. He should do an act there somewhere. Maybe he can get in with the Blue Man Group. Because he's not being a general manager. The fans are sick and tired of losing. And he's missing. He's missing in action. Why? I don't know. Got to ask the bowl cut because he's the one that's holding the checkbook. And I really think he's broke. Broke as a joke, like his hair. And that is all I have to say about that.
My name is
Raider Greg.
My name is
Raider Greg.
That's some bullshit.
Our offense is way better. Their defense is way better. It should be an interesting contest. And I do really, honestly, to my heart, think the Raiders have an opportunity to win this contest. I say the Raiders win by 3.
I love it!
Well, let's slide into the Rats. The Rats are bringing their ship to Las Vegas. The Rats are showing up in town, and I'm sure there will be plenty of Patriot Rats in the stands, because why not? New England's getting a little chilly. Let's go on a vacation, honey. Let's go see a show in Las Vegas. So let's hit on this faux show.
You know, Vegas is a team that, you know, certainly a good level of familiarity with. You know, 8 guys on the coaching staff, 5 scouts, 9 players, whatever it is. You know, a lot of guys that have been here that, you know, I've worked with or we've worked with. And, you know, Josh has done a good job here, you know, molding the team together here. Great tradition, great franchise, and with the Raiders and that organization, you know, going back to, you know, Al and all the success that they had, you know, throughout their storied history. You know, they've got, say the Raiders have probably, you know, 5, at least 5 of the, you know, the top players in the league at their position. You know, the 2 specialists are really, you know, outstanding. I mean, Carlson, you know, maybe behind Tucker, but I mean, that's about it. This guy's, you know, tremendous kicker. Cole, tremendous punter. So the 2 specialists, they're, you know, as good as anybody we'll see. You know, Crosby, you know, very, very disruptive guy. Caused a lot of problems in the running game and the passing game. You know, led a league in TFLs last year. You know, just very disruptive guy. And then offensively, you know, Adams, who's, you know, certainly a Hall of Fame receiver. when he's ready for it. But I mean, this guy's had tremendous production. Touchdowns, receiving, yards, catches, you name it. And then, you know, Jacobs, like 2,000 yards in scrimmage last year, leading league in receiving this year, you know, throwing backs. So, you know, he's had a little more production in the passing game this year than in the running game, but he's been very productive, you know, hard guy to handle. So, and then they have a lot of good complementary players to go with him, but, you know, those five guys are really, you know, dynamic players that, you know, show up in every game and you know, you have to have a way to deal with them. So, you know, Josh has done a good job, you know, with the offense, and, you know, Jimmy's, as usual, high completion percentage and can make all the throws. You know, defensively, they're strong against the run and, you know, not giving up very many big plays. You know, they got their turnovers last week against Green Bay, and that was a big difference for them. So, obviously, ball security is always a high priority for us. It always is, but needs to be this week as well. And, you know, Crosby, you know, caused a lot of those problems, but they have, you know, obviously Splane, Peters, other guys back there that are, you know, will hawk it too. And the kicking game, again, field position wise, they, you know, they're as good as anybody we'll see. So, obviously in the dome, good conditions, you know, it'll be a big challenge for us to try to, you know, neutralize the field of position that they, you know, usually have a good advantage in. So, that's where we're at.
Will Mac Jones be starting?
Yeah, we're not making any changes.
What were you able to accomplish yesterday?
Work on some of the things we think will help us in the game and help us play better football.
Is that more of a walkthrough or more of a standard practice?
Yeah, we practice.
You use the phrase starting over. Last time I spoke with you, what does that specifically entail the last 2 days?
Yeah, it's what I just said. Fundamentals, things that will help us play better.
Is that just on the players? Is that coaching staff starting over?
Yeah, all of us. Yeah. We're looking at everything.
Is there self-reflection in that too? What can the coaching staff and everyone do better?
Everyone.
What have you seen from Jacoby Myers, and after the success he had here, what went into the decision to not bring him back?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a free agent and signed to the Raiders. There's a lot of guys leave and change teams in free agency. But yeah, Jacoby looks like he looked here.
The starting over offensively, would that entail any sort of streamlining of what you guys do offensively, just cutting down on these things?
Yeah, well, everything's important, Bill. This guy's one of the best run defenses in the league, so but we'll see how it goes.
Does the starting over entail changing any sort of game day responsibilities for the coaching staff?
Yeah. As I've said, we're working on fundamentals and things that will help us play better. That encompasses anything that falls into that category.
Kind of on a related note, Ernie Adams obviously no longer here, Matt Patricia no longer here. Who are you kind of relying on maybe upstairs in the coaching booth to help you with video and decision makers and things like that?
Yeah, we have a good staff. Our staff is well staffed, so a number of people that have different game day assignments.
Feel like you still have getting good guidance up in the coaching box?
Yeah, I mean, look, we all need to do a better job. Coaching staff, the head coach, the players, like all of us. So we're all included in that.
Is there anything specifically that you need to tell your guys to keep their confidence up? Because you guys haven't started 1-4 in a very long time.
Yeah. Right now it's like we're focused on doing what we need to do to play better, coach better, and beat Las Vegas. That's what we're focused on.
Okay, at the beginning of the season, the Patriots, the hoodie, brought in Bill O'Brien to run the offense because he knows he cannot do offense. He can't draft offense. He should just stay away from that side of the building altogether. Mac Jones has digressed more than you would think. I think he's a good kid. I just think he's in the wrong system with the wrong players. But nonetheless, they lost to the Eagles 20-25, probably a great game. That was their first game of the season. Then they got thumped by the Dolphins, which will happen to us as well. They beat the Jets. They lost the Cowboys 3-38, and then they lost to the Saints 34-goose egg. They didn't score a single point. That point being, they're coming to Vegas thinking there's a possibility on the schedule. The Raiders are weak. They're losers. They haven't been able to put it together. And the best thing of all is I know Genius Josh. I know how he's going to play. I know what he's going to call. And I know how he's going to call the game in every facet of the game. Because I know him like the back of my hand. That's why I got rid of him. So the hoodie is going to come across his young protege, Genius Josh, and I think slap the living daylights out of the Raiders. And I don't wish this on the team, but I just think Belichick, the hoodie's ready for this game. This is a get-well game for the Rats, and they got to do something to right the ship. They're 1-4. I mean, we could easily be 1-4, very easily by 1 point. But let's just not digress here. Let's look at the Patriots. Their defense has folded up. I don't think they're playing very well. I don't think they're playing for the hoodie. They got some injuries. You know, they got a lot of excuses why they're not playing that well. Because the offense keeps them on the field all game long. All game long. Now, the Patriots' next two games, which are the Bills and the Dolphins, that's not going to be easy, either one of those. So they're coming. I know Bill Belichick is going to psych his team up. We got to get this W, guys. If we're going to look in the mirror at ourselves, we got to win this game against the lowly, pathetic offense that is the Raiders. Now, I think we can get to the quarterback because their offensive line's kind of banged up. I think Max is going to have a field day. But I just think the hoodie knows Josh very well. We should be able to win. They're 1-4. That should be an easy win for most teams. But then again, we got Genius. We got the Genius in the house. And this is his mentor. This is the Darth Vader to the young Jedi. This is the master and student. This is the, the king and the court jester. What am I going to tell you? I certainly hope we can win this game. I hope that we're a home game, but I expect to see red, white, and blue all over. Even though they're losing. Even though they're a losing team, this will certainly be a sign. And I'm going to put this out there. This will be a sign of our future. If there are more Patriot fans than Raider fans at this game, we got some big problems, man. Because if I were a Patriot fan, I'm like, oh, heck no, I'm not going to go to Vegas and see them lose to the Raiders. Heck no. But I truly think that Patriot fan knows that the hoodie's got it all over the Genius. Because I just think that he does. I think he knows every play he's going to call. I think he'll know it before it happens, and we'll see. But if we get a lot of rats in the stands, I mean, don't get heebie-jeebies because they're rats. They don't have all they had with Tom Brady. It's funny how the ship sails. The ship did sail. Sailed all the way to Tampa Bay for Brady's last couple years. Unfortunately for the Rat fan, Patriots fan, they thought it was all Bill, and really they know who it was for sure. Brady ran that show. And when they ran him out of town, they ran away all the trophies, all the victories, all the confetti, all the yes, all the cannon shots, and the little Patriot soldier guys ran away. Because Tom Brady was the reason for the rings. There's no doubt in anybody's minds. It's not the hoodie. The hoodie is old. The hoodie is tired. Trying to get some help from Bill O'Brien, not working. Because they draft so terribly, they've been drafting horribly on offense for, you know, 20 years. So, not surprised, but man, you know what? This should be a W for the Raiders. This should be the beginning of a winning streak for us. We should be able to beat the Patriots. Next, we got the Bears. I'm not thinking that that we're going to beat the Lions. They're a pretty good football team. Their defense is stout. Their offense is clicking. Not too sure. But then we have the Giants. And then after that, the Jets. And then we go into the Crucible. So we got a chance to win some games. We certainly do. So let's see if the genius can whip it up. We can make some noise. I just still think, I mean, I think 5 wins is going to be our big, big takeaway here. You know, maybe 6 if we're lucky. Oh, if we're lucky. But we'll see. Genius Joss has a chance to teach the master next game and see if the master, if the hoodie comes back with, here you go, young man. I'm going to slap you again like I've done in the past. So we shall see this matchup. That's the matchup here. This is not a game that's going to be televised nationally by any stretch. Matter of fact, I hope I can even see it. But we shall see. I'm hoping for a W. If our defense plays as well as they have, we could get the W on our defense. But if they're out in the field all day long, by the fourth quarter, this game will be over because they'll be gassed. That's what happens to our team because the offense can't get a first down. So let's just hope. Let's hope and pray. We get a W. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, the more L's we get, the hotter the seat is for the genius Josh, the 4th and 1 with 2 minutes left in the game, deciding to kick the field goal and give the Green Bay Packers an opportunity to win. I don't get that. I don't think you get that. Nobody gets that. And with that, I'm going to let this go because I think we can beat the hoodie. But then again, man, it's master and student. That's this game coming up. So we shall see. I'm hoping for the W, but, you know, let's just see this comedy because it should be a comical game. I hope it's entertaining. That's all I got to say. I hope it's entertaining and we get a W. It would be great to see us slap 28 points on the Rats. It'd be great to see us, because I hate playing these guys. I love to beat them for the Tuck Rule. Every time we play them, I just can't help thinking about that. It's always bothered me. It will always bother me, but, you know, I just have a sneaking feeling. We'll see. But, you know, it is what it is, as I've heard before, and let's hope we can pull out the W. I hope so. I hope so for Josh's sake, because this could be Creighton's if he doesn't win this game, because this should be a W for us. And that is all I have to say about that. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. It's time for the bone line. That's right, our new number, 7755-RADA. So get that number down in your phone or whatever you're going to be calling in. Morse code, whatever it may be. Because we got the bone line coming up next. And so here it is. Our first caller. Haven't heard her in a while. I love it. From Philly. We got Raider Tracy in the house. It's been a long time. What's up, girlfriend?
Hey. What is up, Raider Greg? Raider Randy, this is Tracy from New Jersey. How are you? I hope you're doing well. Hope your knee is getting stronger every day. It's great to hear you back on the podcast. Great to hear you. Wow, it's been a long time, but definitely good to have you back. And as we say, back and better than ever. I did have a chance to listen to, I guess in the interim, I listened to a couple times to the podcast that Mitchell Renz does. He's good. And it is good enough to hold me until your podcast got back up and running. So, welcome back. Let's go Raiders. Not liking what I've seen so far. Still not trusting, I'm going to call him Mick Davis. I'm not trusting him, not at all, one bit. Can't stand listening to, his interviews at the end of the game. He just seems to throw the players under the bus, blame the players. You know, it's got to be just a matter of time before he's gone. I remember the days when Rich Bisaccia coached the Raiders to the playoffs. You know, that was a year that we just had, adversity on top of adversity. We had my guy Derek Carr leading the way. I know people didn't love him. I thought he was great. I love the way he carried himself. He represented the Raiders. These guys who are here now, Hunter Renfrow, Max Crosby, Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs, feel for them. Because this guy, McDodo has just got, I guess he's got to have the most complex playbook. Why not just keep it simple? It's football. Pass it. A receiver will catch it, run the ball, mix the plays up. Oh, here's a thought. How about getting defense involved, letting the defense do something and show what they can do, get an interception, run back for a touchdown. So I get disappointed watching the game because it's just so lackluster. Nothing going on. So I just realized who we're playing this weekend. I think it's Monday night. We've got the Packers. And I see it's Rich Bisaccia, who's still the special teams coach. I know I mentioned him before on my last call, but I think it's just going to be kind of funny to see that we're, going up against him. And I don't mind saying that I would be rooting for him. I'd like to see him do well because he did right by us. He led the team, treated the players like, they were human beings. And, he worked hard. So, good luck to Bisaccia, but definitely good luck to our Raiders. That's it. I'm out. Go Raiders.
Well, yeah, it was great to see Rich Bisaccia and Max Crosby get the connection on TV. I'm sure that wasn't the only one either. I am sure the other players that were around during that time came up to Rich and were like, yeah, brother, we're missing you, literally. Missing you big time, I have no doubt, because I miss him. I really miss Rich Bisaccia because, to be honest with you, that was the last time we won any football games. So, yeah, we did beat the Chiefs at home, barely. Embarrassing for sure. The bowl cut has not done anything yet, but we'll see what happens. I appreciate the props too, Tracy. It's great to hear your voice. I'm glad you like our show. Renz, I call him the used car salesman because that's what he sounds like to me. He's got a... like all the guys on YouTube these days, all the podcasts, they call them podcasts. I call them YouTube casts, asking for subscription, asking for money per take. I guess you got to make a living somehow, but man, I just never thought that was the way you should roll. If you're going to be a fan, not be a fan trying to make money or fame or whatever you're doing. Good for him, though. I mean, he's got the news coming out, but not a fan of the show. Wi-Fi Willie is closer to me, but he also, hit, subscribe. I don't know, man. I'm an old guy. I'm an OG. So I appreciate all you guys hanging with me because this is low tech, because that's me, low tech. And Randy totally knows it. Appreciate the call for sure. And our next caller is the Prez. You know him? You gotta love him because I do. He's always very positive.
Good morning, Raider Nation. Salute to Raider Greg, Raider Randy, and the Raider Nation. This is the Prez, and this is a little different approach this time. The game hasn't came on yet, but because of the fact, you know, I know how things are, I want to do a little bit of a different approach. First and foremost, Raider Nation, hang in there. It's not me being a homer, though, but I'm just, you know, stating the facts. And actually, you know, after listening to the last podcast, and I want to say to Raider Greg, and it's not me just being a, you know, positive person just for the sake of being positive, but this is actually being actual and factual because we share the same thing. And that is, we definitely want McDummy out of here, just like the rest of the Raider Nation. And yeah, it's going to be hard to, you know, go through the motions with the show because I can hear it and I can feel it, you know. And I know, trust me, that's nothing worse than when a second ship is sinking and you still got the motor on trying to get to shore. But let me say this right here. The more that guy screws up, the worse it's getting, because at the end of the day, it's about business. Mark Davis, yeah, he might be an idiot, but he's not stupid, though. You know, it's still his brand. And eventually, it's going to have to come down to, you got to get the people what you want. Now, do I think that he's going to get rid of them anytime soon? No. But it's coming. I've never been wrong. I've never been wrong. I have a knack for, like, seeing things for what it is and kind of, like, looking at the big picture. There was a gentleman that said, the cheesehead that said, well, who do we get? Well, don't be surprised. I'm just going to throw it out here. Basaccia might have a chance, you know, maybe he probably would be okay. It would have to be somebody inside, man, or somebody who's up and coming that's got some sense, though. I wouldn't say Chucky. I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere Chucky comes back within the Raider Nation, because I know Mark Davis didn't want to do it. You know, he was basically forced, though, but I'm not holding my breath, and I'm not going to speculate, though, but it would definitely have to be somebody within the Raider Nation or somebody who's up and coming that knows what's going on, somebody that the players alike can relate to, and we could make this thing go. Obviously, McDaniels and other guy, we're going to have to probably eat that for like the rest of this year for certain, unless something just dramatically happens, though. But again, I don't see that happening. And we kind of just got to just face the big picture, man, you know, at the present time. But this is a big business. It's a money business. Big, big time, billion business. And they see the same thing we do. And you can best believe that, you know, behind closed doors, there's going to have to be a solution. It's like the, when you have somebody that works for you, that's an F up, and you know you got to fire them, but who can you replace right then and there? You secretly go behind closed doors and look for his replacement or replacements. It's the same thing. But I don't want to see this guy succeed. Because if he does, we're stuck with him. And I just can't stand the sight of that guy, and I just don't know what more else to say. You know, his press conferences doesn't sound inspiring. The players, you can just look and see, they're not pumped up and inspired. And the whole culture is in general. It's just sick and tired of this shit, man. And I, for one, am too. So, yeah, we have to, like, face the fact that we have to stick it out. And it's hard. And, again, man, we salute you, bro, because, you know, you give us the insight. I know there's 10 million things you can be doing, brother. And I know that it's hard to get on that mic and whatever. And, you know, try to do the best of it, though. But we're here with you, though, because we're riding it, too. And, the Raider Nation is hurting. It's, you know, so you're the beacon of the voice, my man. We have to stand and persevere. And it's going to be over. You think about it, we only got like about two more months of the year already. Time is flying by. So it'll be over before you know it. And we'll sit back and we'll see what happens. All right, Raider Nation, I said enough, but this is the prayer saying, Raider Nation, stay strong and hang on. Raiders. Goodbye.
Yeah, I think that we all want to see our team win, But we all want to see our team win with, you know, good plays and good play calling and, you know, a coach that's loved by the team. And you have this feeling with this guy, nobody likes him. I mean, nobody even comes near him on the sideline. Nobody. And when you got Marcus Peters saying he don't like, he wants the coach to be fired. Hey, man, that's gutsy for a player. I'm sure he got a talking to from somebody. But, you know, the season's going to be over lickety-split very, very soon. We'll see what happens. I'd sure like to see someone else making decisions other than the actor general manager we have. I don't know about the bowl cut. Maybe the bowl cut's looking for a new coach as we speak. Maybe the search is already on. Let us hope that that's the case, that we don't have some, you know, some guy that just going to fill the shoes for a year and then we have to start all over. No. We have to get somebody who's going to be here for the next 5 years at least and bring the team to a playoff. That's all I'm asking. I think that's too much. But the bowl cut has got all the control. I don't. But, yeah, it's tough to do this show, dude. It is tough to beat the dead horse. Appreciate the call, brother. And our next caller, Raider Ruben from North Carolina. Love this guy. It's been a while, brother. What's happening there in North Carolina in Raider Nation?
What's up, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation? This is Ruben from North Carolina calling in. Welcome back, Greg. It's been a long time since we heard your voice and your fresh takes on this infatuation that we call fandom of this football team we call the Raiders. It's like a bad relationship. We just can't get away from it. But it's good to hear you back. Good to hear your voice. Glad things seem to be going pretty well with you. On to my takes about this football team in this season. It's been very, very lackluster. I had some hopes. You know, I during the offseason, I really didn't have much opinion of how we're looking so far on paper with our draft picks and our free agent signings or anything of that matter. And then preseason came along, and, of course, I fell for the okey-doke, and I got my hopes up high again. And here we are, you know, 1-3, 1-4, 1-3, 1-4, 1-2. I don't know. I can't keep track. It's just another roller coaster season, it's going to seem like, except this time we're on the – instead of reaching a high, we got to our high early on in the season by being the Broncos, and then we had a big letdown. You know, a couple games afterwards. I was in the game in Buffalo, and, man, that talk about a hot start and getting your hopes up high and then just watching just that game just fall to pieces. It was just horrible. And, you know, I was just sitting there with a buddy of mine who happens to be a Bills fan, and he was easy on me. You know, he didn't give me much of a hard time, especially on the way home, but it sucked, you know, and – I don't know. This season, all of my hopes and, you know, my optimism is pretty much gone. No thanks to this team, the way they're playing. It seems like the defense is playing a little better, but the offense is what's really puzzling. You know, you got McDaniels supposed to be an offensive genius, but I was thinking to myself, like, you know, McDaniels might have been the offensive coordinator in New England for all those years, but all in all, it was, you know, Belichick setting down the game plan and telling McDaniels what he wanted. So, you know, a lot of people will call Belichick a defensive genius, but the guy is a football genius. Let's just put it that way. You know, the guy, he's the one who's making the calls on offense and defense and what he wanted. Going on to the team itself. With all this turmoil going on with the team, I had to put the blame on Mark Davis. It's not as much as the coaches. You know, the coaches have had to select the players, They have to put the team together. The GM has to draft the player, sign the free agents, and then they got to make things work. Well, you know, we squandered a talent like Khalil Mack. We squandered a talent like Derek Carr with horrible signings of coaches. Al Davis was a player first coach or owner. He always took the size of the player as, you know, how bad it might have been with the relationship between the player and the coach. But Mark Davis doesn't know the difference between building a good team and building a good brand. He's better at building the brand than he is building the team. And until Mark Davis gets his head out of the ass, gets a new haircut, shaves his head, or just starts wearing a hat, period, so he'll start looking like the buffoon that he does, this franchise isn't going nowhere. You're right when you say that, you know, he's all about making money, along with the A's owners. They're all about making money. That's all they care about. They don't care about, you know, building a winning team. And that's how I feel. I'm starting to feel, you know, I'm stripping all my blame to Mark Davis. He's the responsible guy. He's the guy who cuts the checks at the end of the day. He's the one that brings in the staff, and the buck starts with him. And until that changes, I don't see anything changing. So with that, I know I went a little long, but I'm always grateful for your show, for letting the fans get our thoughts out in the world so other fans can hear and we, you know, can share our feelings with each other. Once again, I hope everybody's having a great day, and hopefully we beat the pack. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Well, I think you said what we all felt. And we, at first, I said it was a terrible hire because I saw what he did to the Broncos. So, but it took me a little bit. And before the season started, I go, okay, let's give him a chance. Let's see what happens last year. And then we saw the buffoonery. And then the buffoonery wasn't bad enough last year that we came all the way to this year. And here we sit in year two, which is, I think, year too much. The bowl cut, I think he's broke. I think he's got to pay this guy and the knucklehead GM. I think he's hurting about it. Not happy, I'm sure. Tom Brady deal fell through. He couldn't do a garage sale with the team, and that's how it is. And we're going to be stuck with this for a short while because season's almost over. You know, we all watch the games. We got to see how it works out. We beat Green Bay, barely. Our defense saved that game. But, you know, we're going to go through the rest of the season hacky-sacking our way, completely unentertaining football. That I can guarantee. I guarantee hard-to-watch games from now to the end. And we'll see what Bowl Cut does. We don't know. I don't know. I'd love to see him, you know, I hope he's looking for a new coach. Who knows? We can only guess. But I appreciate the call. And, you know, this is the place that if I were a fan, not saying I'm going to blow my horn, but if I were a fan and I want to listen to a podcast, the last thing I want to do is throw in a few words in a text for 10 or 15, 20, $100. Like, and then get recognized because you paid for it. Baloney. You know, your Raider Nation, whoever's listening to this show, who calls in, you're going to get on the show, man, because this is what it takes to vent your feelings. At least it does for me, and I'm glad you're here, brother. And our next caller is the Cheesehead Raider from Wisconsin. What's up, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, this is the Cheesehead Raider calling from Las Vegas, Nevada. That's right, the Cheesehead Raider is in the parking lot of the Death Star. My daughter and I came out here, saw we were going to play the Packers, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us, Raider Greg. Monday night, first time in the Death Star against the team that represents the state we live in, so we had to do it. Even if we do lose, which I don't think we can run Jacobs all over the Packers. Their run defense is horrible. But this is more than just being at a Raider game. This is about having quality time with my daughter, another Raider fan. The first time she was at a Raider game, it was in Oakland. the last game of the season, and, well, we don't really want to talk about what happened at that game, but here we are, first time in Vegas in the Death Star, and we'll let you know how it goes. I'll be calling back after the game. This is the Cheesehead Raider, and I am out.
Well, what a great thing. You brought your daughter to see a game. You know, that's Green Bay Packers. She'll be able to at least go home and say you saw the Raiders beat them, which is good. I'm glad you got to see a game. I know it wasn't the most entertaining, probably stressful, but she saw a W. Hey, man, my daughter Haley went to, I don't know, maybe 12 games in a row and saw one win. So, listen, be happy for the little things because you got to spend time with your daughter watching a game and the Raider Nation, brother. Hope you had a good time. And our next caller is the Cheesehead Raider post game. And like I said, nothing like seeing a victory with your children. What's up, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, this is the Cheesehead Raider calling from Vegas, where the Vegas Raiders just beat the Green Bay Packers. And I'm sure all of you guys saw it. You know, Jacob started picking it up at the end. Defense is the one that won the game for us. Fantastic win. But for me, it was more about spending time with my daughter. First time both of us been at the Death Star, as I said earlier. And it's just great to spend time, bond with the little ones, the next generation of Raider fans. I've got three daughters. One of them is a Raider fan. We'll work on the other two. You know, they say that there's nothing stronger than the love of a father for his daughter. Now, I also have a son, and I love my son more than life itself. But I do have to admit, my girl's got me wrapped around the finger, and there is something a little bit more special there. And for this win, for her and I to experience it together, that is something, no matter what the Raiders do, will always hold a special place in my heart. And with that, Raider Nation, I'm out.
Yeah, ugly win, but I'll take the W, especially with your girl. Nothing like it, man. I'm glad you were there. I'm glad you got to experience it. I'm glad you got to say a few words to the... The Green Bay fan, love that. Since you live there, it's even better. Thank you for the call, man, and for the experience. And our next caller is Raider Chris from Scranton, PA. Love the sauce. Love the sauce. What's happening, brother?
The autumn wind is a pirate. Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is Raider Chris, Scranton, PA, and I love this one. For one person and one person only, Mr. Mad Max Crosby, our entire team. That's it. That's all I got. I saw spurts of last year's Josh Jacobs. They need to let that man go, but we. Our line, our offensive line is trash, including Colton Miller, who people think is God's gift. No, he's trash, too. Our offensive line is weak, garbage. You couldn't tell me a name that was like all pro. Nobody. Nobody. I saw spurts of him, and he wants to go. But this is Mad Max's game, for sure. And I was waiting for the one call touchdown for my man, Devontae Adams. Because you know that would have been special. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen at all. Our passing game was shit again. This week, yeah, I'm flustered and I'm fucking hoarse because I've been yelling and... But, I mean, I was waiting for Devontae, and it didn't happen. Didn't happen. The players stepped up when they needed to. Good win. You know, all right. But now we're going against his former team next week. the Chiefs at home. I think we bow down. I think we lose this game, guys. I think McDummy is still sucking. Nope, not going to go there. Tonight, guys, good win. This is Mad Max's game. Raiders. I'm out like that back early dodgeball.
Of course, the Max, the Mad Max, the Condor. The Condor flew in and took this game over, enthused the defense to step it up another level. They're tired of getting trash. They know the offense is trash with all the money. Mad Max made this game happen. He made Jordan Love's life miserable. The only shining light in the stadium, as you said, I agree, that and the bowl cuts girlfriend. What can I say? Love the call, brother. And another call by Raider Chris of Scranton, PA. What's up with that?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy. I got to call back again because I forgot one person on my last shout-out. Spillane. Spillane did his thing as well. I knew when he played for the Steelers living in PA, I seen him play, so I knew the guy had talent. So I had to call back to give a shout out to Spillane. My man did his thing. And I am over the train of what's his name? Number 24. Peters. Again, over that guy. I just wanted to call back about Spillane. Spillane did his thing, needed a shout out. I'm out, Raiders. Like that back girl in dodgeball.
I gotta disagree, bro. Marcus Peters, is that who you're talking about? I think he did a great job. He saved the game. The horse collar saved the game. I know he's not the best. I know he allows too much room. I know he's beyond his days, his years. But this game, he saved the game, bro. Marcus Peters was the winning player on defense that kept the Packers from getting the W, bro. Check it out. I just wanted to let you know. I know he's not the best, but in this game, he saved us. Our next caller is the RVA Raider. What's happening, my Raider brother?
Hey, Raider Randy, Raider Greg. This is Tripp, the RVA Raider, calling from Richmond, Virginia. The day after the Monday night against the Packers game. And it's nice to wake up and see a W. I did like I've been doing for these primetime games, and I stay up till about halftime. My mornings are rough if I stay up till the end. But it's great to wake up, see the silver and black pull through with a W. Obviously, it wasn't the prettiest game, wasn't the cleanest game, but there are no easy games in this league. I sure would have liked to see these guys break 20 points. Because, man, I felt like this is the team to do it against. But, hey, a win's a win. The defense made some good stops. Not against the toughest opponent out there. But they easily could have beat us. So, hey, we're 2-3 there. I think the next two or three games, man, it looks like we got a pretty good chance. But, you know, I still think it's going to be about maybe a 6-game win season, 7-game win season. And that's all right. We'll take the wins when we can get them. They make us happy. I'm looking forward to hear some of the calls this week. I know the Cheesehead Raider is going to have plenty of stuff to say about the game last night. I look forward to that. I really loved the calls last week, particularly Alfonso from Mexico. It's great to hear the calls from the international fans. Oh, and I wanted to ask you about one thing, Raider Greg. Last week, Keith the Crusader Raider gave us the web domain to vote for him in the International Fan of the Year, which he definitely deserves, but I could not hear the end of it. So if you could maybe give that again or put it on the website, that would be awesome, because I'd love to vote for Keith. Couldn't figure out how to do that. Anyways, Raider Nation, On to, I don't know, maybe it's the Bears next week. It's the Bears or someone like that. Anyways, y'all, be good to one another. Talk to you later. Peace out.
Well, brother, I'm glad you stayed up and watched this game. It was one of the few victories we'll have. I don't know about six games. We'll see. We'll see if we got six in us. But even if that's the case, that'll be 2 years of absolute worst football we've had in what I can remember. So hopefully the bowl cut will take care of business. I don't know. Maybe we'll have another garage sale. I think maybe we're going to lose quite a few players next year. I don't know if Mark can continue to pay these guys. There could be a lot of trades in the mix. Devontae Adams, Max Crosby, Renfro. You know, this might be the next year, could be the big garage sale for the Raiders so that Mark doesn't have to pay because the bowl cut has a bunch of moths in his wallet. And we'll see, man. I don't want to be negative. I just hope we can find an offensive-minded coach that is an up-and-comer from the, well, I hate to say it, but the Niners coach. His lineage, his tree is pretty stout on the offensive side. We could do a lot worse than find a coach from those ranks, from Shannon Rat, son of Rat. So I would be looking there for sure. Any kind of successful offensive program where the offensive coordinator or the coach is a guru from that tree, because those teams are winning, bro. And the ones that have defensive coaches, even the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's not looking good, especially with the way the NFL is. Appreciate the call. Glad you made it through the game. And there you go. Well, that will do it for this edition of the Raider Nation podcast. I appreciate everyone listening. Oh, by the way, the Keith Smith thing, I didn't know it didn't make it. Maybe Randy could put that out there somewhere so that people can vote for him.
Crusader Raiders looking forward to this year's Crusades when I will be in Las Vegas for the Giants and Jets games in November, before heading down to Miami for our game against the Dolphins. One last quick thing. I really would appreciate the support of Raid Nation podcast listeners. The NFL have announced today that they're doing an international Fan of the Year competition, and it would be great if listeners to the podcast could put a nomination in for the Crusader Raid. I really would appreciate it. The link is quite a wordy one. I'll do it quick. www.nfl.com/honors/fan-of-the-year/GB. And I'll ask Randy if he could share that on the podcast post when it goes out. Guys, have a great week. Greg, miss you, man. And Randy, look forward to seeing you soon at the Crab Feed in November, and look forward to seeing the nation when I travel later on this year. Let's keep the faith, let's keep hoping, and go Raiders.
We got the hoodie coming to town. We got the rats. They're going to be coming in from New England, I'm sure, to a game they think they should win. We shall see. I don't know, man. We'll see what the stadium looks like. I hope that it's not all red, white, and blue. I hope it's a little more silver and black, because we should be able to win. But then again, we have the genius at the helm. And that is all I have to say about that. I am Raider Greg, and I am out.